physical realms, Carolyn and Jay. Converse in mystic, ethereal ballet. Ideas and stories, hopes and dreams they share. With intuition as their guiding, cosmic flair. In morning's embrace, their dialogues unfurl. Metaphysical whispers, a new day's pearl. In these whispered tones, they contemplate the night, where truth and wonder take their graceful flight. For in their words, a resonance may swell, as conversation's magic casts its spell. Welcome to Carolyn and Jay's Metaphysical Conversations. Good morning. We are Carolyn and Jay here with Metaphysical Conversations, and it is already Monday, April 8th. It's full eclipse day, and we are 14 of 52 weeks into 2024. I hope you're all doing really well today. And we are going to be giving out the contact phone number because we got that working today. But let's say hello to Jay too. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Carolyn. It's great to be here with you this morning.
Yeah, it's another Monday. So if you'd like to call in today from 7:15 to 7:35 Pacific, you can call in with to either add to the conversation that we're having, or you can call in and ask an in-depth question and completely break us from what we're talking about. So it's up to you. And so if you want to call in for a reading or to add to the conversation, call 857-232-0155, extension 870-303. The number again is 857-232-0155, extension 870-303. And Jay?
If you want to get to the chat and also join us there, you can go over to 12radio.com and click on the chat button there at the left-hand side of the screen. That does take you to a private Facebook group. You do have to send over an invitation, but we'll get you right in. You'll see our banner there at the top, Metaphysical Conversations. And in the comments section below is where you can place your comments.
Okay, so I had an interesting weekend. I went to visit my intuitive teacher from 35 years ago. She got out some questions for us, and they were about spirituality. So I thought, I think I'm going to use this idea for this morning. And Jay is game, since he loves to answer questions. I thought we could use these questions too, that's for you guys that would like to, maybe talk with a friend about them, about these questions. It helps to have a deeper conversation. And then also too, you can even use them if you're meeting a new person, or and you want to check out their spirituality. So one of the first ones that we're going to ask is, Jay, what religion did you grow up with?
I grew up in the Christian evangelical free Christianity, but the evangelical free branch or denomination, I guess, better said. And
so what did you like or dislike about growing up with the church, and when did you leave?
Looking back at it, I enjoyed the family aspect, the camaraderie of the people, and like the community aspect and how many people are involved in everyone's life, and that just that sense that you're not alone, and there's these, multiple activities during the week to get together. And I took it for granted, I think, when I was a kid, but then I definitely missed it when I left as an adult, but I didn't realize what I was missing. And now, after coming to terms with just being mad and angry about some of the teachings and the ways that they were taught to me, I have been able to see that part about missing the community part and how much was really added to my life on a personal level, not so much on a God level, but definitely feeling more connected to people and definitely feeling more confidence being plugged into a group of people that really knew me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. When you said earlier that there were some things that you didn't like about it, what were some of those examples of some of the things that were just awful or to you or just didn't make sense?
I did not like the part where, as a kid, just excuse me. All of a
That's
sudden, I
okay.
got a tickle in my throat. For me, it was, I didn't always fit in, and I didn't always feel like my questions were answered, and I didn't always understand what was going on at church because the way I felt and what they said was going on and what was really going on were, I think, all different things. And as a very empathic kid, that took me a long time to sort out and understand like what it was I was feeling, and also why it felt good sometimes and why it didn't feel good other times. And I think for me, I really felt the fear when, for example, they would do the prayer to go come to Jesus. I could feel the fear of the room, basically, and I could feel the lack of confidence people had in their own faith. And I
So
didn't
it's
know if that's what I was feeling at the
prayer.
time, but that's what I was feeling. And it's not a fun feeling as a child to be feeling that. And it's very confusing. So
So
for
was it the
me,
poetry prayer that bugged you?
I'm sorry, what?
Was it the poetry of the prayer that bugged you? That was alarming or
No, it was
scary?
usually more like what the pastor would. You know how they would read, well, I don't know, every church is different, but they would read passages and then it's whatever they would make it mean.
Yeah.
That sometimes I would have trouble with, like the lines that they would draw from whatever scripture they had read to then whatever that was supposed to be translated into and what was supposed to be meaningful about it now. And it didn't always add up for me.
Yeah. Okay. So it was just the understanding that what just didn't seem to make it for you then. You just didn't seem to put it all together for, what they were actually saying. Is that it?
Yeah, it didn't all add up to me.
Yeah.
It didn't make perfect sense. And I d felt like there were parts I still had questions and there weren't people that could give me the answers.
Okay, so about what age did you stop going?
I stopped going with my family when I moved back to Los Angeles in my early 20s.
Okay, so you
And then
went
I
for a
went to a church in West Hollywood, a gay church. And
Okay.
that helped me some because I've definitely felt that I got some other parts of the story that helped me understand more what was happening. And then being gay, that, just was another thing I had to come to terms with. And some people care about it, some people don't. For some people, it's an abomination. For other people, it's not. So it's, I. That was hurtful to me growing up in some of that because I went to a Baptist church when I lived in Bakersfield with my family, and they were very strict and rigid and much more. They had much more like I can't think of the word, but
Against your beliefs, against what we're
not
doing.
against my beliefs personally, but I mean yes and no. But it wasn't just about that; it was against my beliefs personally. It's just it was really not a great tenet, Just they would definitely spend a lot of time with not belittling, but just attacking gay people from my perspective.
Okay. So you didn't feel accepted.
No.
Right. Okay. So, well, you sort of already answered this, but what led you to further explore your spirituality in your life after your church experiences?
I needed answers. I needed my own answers. For me, I've always felt and been connected to the energetic realms, the spiritual realms. And so for me, I needed to understand that. And I also needed to understand why. And I didn't feel like I got any of those kind of answers. I had to go outside of the system that I was brought up in order to start to find answers. And it wasn't like I went one place and found them. It was more just a journey, looking at different traditions, looking at different teachers, opening myself up to other ways of looking at the spiritual world for me to be able to find my own way versus just how it was spoon-fed to me as I was growing up.
So what was the first piece of spirituality that you were learning about that you really grabbed onto?
I definitely got swept away in the New Age world. But I also got disenfranchised by some of that teaching too. I felt like some of it was just repackaged Christianity in just another form after learning it.
And, I agree with you.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what?
I agree with you with that. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So that's the part where I was like, okay, well, this gives me more of what I'm looking for, but it's also giving me more questions. So it's been really an ongoing journey of seeking and researching and reading and tuning in for myself too. Like, now I have my own connection. Like, everybody talks about in the Christian world, like relating everything and having to like go to the Bible as the reference for everything. And the Bible has all the answers. And I came to the point where I was like, well, but what if we lived in a world where we didn't have a Bible? What would people do? And I don't need a Bible to know God exists for me. And I don't need a Bible to know that the spiritual world exists. And I also don't need the Bible to tell me like how to live, because I have literal my intuition helping me with that part live on site in the moment. And I don't have to like, find it in a book. So my point to saying that is that was very revealing to me when I finally had that revelation for myself, that that's where I just saw church more as, this is great because it's a great community for me to be a part of and the people that I connect with, but I don't need it to be any closer to God, and I don't need it to even necessarily understand God. Like, the more that I do read the Bible, I'll have to say I do see some of like the wisdom that's there that I wasn't necessarily seeing before when I just saw it from more of that manipulated place. But at the same time, it still is, because I'm seeing it and reading it with my eyes and my consciousness and able to, have my intuition speak to me in that place versus just having some pastor talk at the whole audience and telling them what it should mean, and having to just take it that way.
Using your own interpretations now that you're reading it and you're using your own interpretations, you're saying.
Well, and not just my own, like, oh, I'm just, interpreting all the Bible on my own and just having my own way. Not necessarily like that. That just sounds so woo-woo and wishy-washy in a certain kind of way. But in a certain kind of way, yes. Like, I don't have to. I feel like I am tuning into, like, they call it that the word comes to life, or it's the living word. I feel like I can say that I've experienced that, but I wouldn't say that, God, it's God's, irrevocable word and no man has messed with it. I call bullshit on that.
Yeah, I agree. So I guess you kind of already said this, but how would you define your spirituality for yourself? How do you define it now? Do you have how would you say that you are a spiritual person?
For me, it's about my experience, my own faith that I have built by having, I call them steps of faith. They're different experiences that build my faith and have, had me stretch past my comfort zones. And it's been through those kinds of experiences and living through them and getting to the other side of them where that is what helps me grow my understanding and my wisdom and my working knowledge of how I see the world and how I choose to operate. But for me, I look at it from a mind, body, spirit perspective. I try to do my best to incorporate all of, like, looking at it from all those perspectives, because otherwise I feel that we miss part of it. Because it's all of it is part of it. And then when we miss part of it, we're missing part of the whole experience that we're having here, in my opinion.
So I think what you're saying is it really is your connection to the divine.
It is. Really, I can't explain it in a book. I mean, I could write my own version, I guess. But I, as much as I could talk to the like the Christian faith, that's not where I'm basing my spiritual beliefs anymore. But I can still talk to it. I can still understand where people are coming from in that way when people are in that system. To me, I see it as like a belief system that people take on, you know, and it becomes alive to them. And in some way, that's me too. But for me, it's not through the book. It's through real life experience, like real on-the-job training, boots on the ground. That's where my experience comes from and my knowledge and wisdom.
From 7:15 to 7:35 today, which is time right now, we are taking taking questions. If you have an in-depth question to ask Jay and I for a reading, or you can also just call up and say, hey, I just want to add to the conversation. And to do that, you would call in on 857-232-0155. The number again is 857-232-0155, extension 870-303, extension 870-303. And Jay, if they want to get into the chat room.
You can get over to our Facebook chat. It's a private Facebook group. In the search bar of Facebook, type in 12 Radio. That's the number 12 Radio. That takes you right to our group. Send over that invitation. And then you'll find our banner there at the top to place your comments, to join the conversation, and or to ask your questions. We'd love to talk to you.
Yes, we'd like to hear from you guys. So, is there anyone in the chat room now, Jay, that we want to before we move forward?
I have somebody harassing me on Skype right now. You all might hear. It's some person that is like trying to scam me or sell me something, and I'm like, I can't get them to go away, so you keep. You guys might hear that noise. I'm sorry, but
oh no, it's came in on the third line.
Yeah, they're coming in like they're trying to chat with me on Skype. It's ridiculous. I'm like, I didn't know you, and I can't get you to go away right now. But Tara's joining us. Good morning, Tara. She says good morning, and it's great to see you, Tara, and thank you for being here with us. And Quelly is here too. She says, "Grand Rising, Jay, Carolyn, and family." New moon blessings. Yes, we have that new moon eclipse, and oh my gosh, can you feel it already?
Yeah. So, Jay, back to you. What spiritual practices do you engage in regularly?
What spiritual practices do I have?
Yeah, what do you do regularly?
Regularly, I make sure that I get outside. That's very important for me to check in with the sun, check in with just nature, breathe the fresh air, really take that as an opportunity to ground, really feel into not just my feet on the ground, but really feeling that connection, really feeling into that connection to the earth that I'm here and I'm plugged into all this too. And it helps me with that. And I do a goddess bath, I call it, whenever I want to really get a good clearing, as well as when I want to go even deeper, more into that relaxed space. And I put a bunch of, I can't think of what the, oh my goodness, magnesium flakes. It's a little bit better quality magnesium than the Epsom salt, and some essential oils and some coconut oil and olive oil and flower petals and essential oils. And is like a great recipe for me to tune in and be quiet and also be open to get any kind of further kind of connections from spirit. And the other part is continuing to not only open myself up to knowledge, the knowledge and wisdom of the universe through my intuition and that connection, but also, I'll be very honest, like my time here at 12 Radio as the producer and getting to really listen to all the people I produce on a regular basis, that's been really helpful to me to really hear the different perspectives and the angles that everyone's coming from, and where how they put it together has really helped me build my own confidence in myself, as well as it's just very helpful to hear some of the other hosts and like how they, you know, where they're research has taken them. And one person that comes to mind is Kelly Whetstone. She oftentimes has a lot of different artists, or not artists, well, I guess they are artists in a certain way, but authors or researchers, And then she puts it together, you know, based on what she's living in her life and the experience that she's having. And so I find a lot of value out of that. But she's one of many voices, and I do feel like I get so much out of being able to learn and hear other people, and that are other people that are not just fixed in one religion or one spiritual space. You know, I like to hear different kinds of people that are, you know, coming from different places. That helps me. I don't want to just hear people that are mirroring what I have to say or how I feel in the moment.
I mean, really, you can have a spiritual experience in the grocery store, seriously. So it doesn't have to be just plain out obvious, you know, spirituality. Do you ever draw cards for yourself?
I do, actually. I have an altar, and I have a spot for 3 cards, and I use a couple of decks. Usually, I change it out, but lately I've been using this deck of cards that's like fractal art. And it's from this artist. She's created 2 different decks, and her name's Shirley Harnish. And so I put the 2 decks together, and I shuffle them and pick 3 cards for the day, for the house, for me. And that's something I usually do pretty regularly. And then if I need something more specifically, I may throw a couple cards. Because for me, when I'm looking at myself, it's helpful to have that look outside myself to just confirm or to show me, like, if I'm coming at it from a slant or only from one side, it can help be the thing that can bring in more of the information that I am maybe not seeing or an understanding what I'm getting from my intuition. Or it absolutely confirms what I felt.
Do you usually leave those cards out through the day?
I do.
Yeah. Okay, so you can just reflect on them as you move through the day to even get more information that way, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Totally.
So what significant spiritual experiences or revelations have you had in your life?
So one of the biggest ones that really helped me confirm that I really was connected and protected, I was having this moment where I was in my early 20s, and I was out at a gay club with one of my best friends, and we were dancing, and all of a sudden it was a huge club in LA, and hundreds, if not at least 1,000 people on the dance floor. And so it's a big busy place, lots of lights, lots of action happening, and all of a sudden there's a lot of light, but there was a specific kind of like orangish yellow light that just came over the whole place. And it was as if time stopped, and it really did stop for me and for everyone. And so even though in the moment I was still, you know, my friend did not see any stop or pause, for me, there was like a moment inside a moment. And as everything is stopping and freezing, I hear the voice of God come in and telepathically tell me that everything is okay, and that I am accepted just as I am. I'm supposed to be this way. And it, from the standpoint, because I was really struggling with being gay and being out and feeling very judged and ashamed and all the the religious stuff that I had picked up from growing up and all the negative parts that demonized that me being gay anyways. And so it was something that I already had been confirmed from my intuition, but still wasn't trusting it. And this was something that happened that really, not only did it catch my attention, but it felt like it wasn't just the words. It was how I felt. I not only felt that it was okay, like I felt the feeling of that peace that goes beyond all understanding. And then literally it was like as if like he gave me a kick in the pants to get back out there. And everything just started back up, and it was like nothing ever, like I said to my friend Jeremy or to whoever was there, it's like time didn't stop for them, but it did for me in that little instant. And then it came back, and so that was one of the...
The coloring and the dance. You said the did people see that part?
They did not see anything. It was literally just my own experience.
Oh, wow. That's a lovely visual and experience with hearing the voice of God. That's pretty intense. So good message for you.
So I have one ahead. Other message in it, and I just want to share it because it was so different of an experience.
Yeah.
I've shared this before, but this might be new to this audience. At one point, I was a cocaine addict and an alcoholic, and all of it started through just being, you know, partying in my 20s and also having trouble people pleasing and trying to figure that out. And so anyways, I was using cocaine one night at home, and I had quite a bit. And this was not, you know, this was an ongoing thing for me for a few years.
And by yourself?
off and on by myself, yeah. Okay. I started it as like a drug to be out, and then it became like a drug that I didn't want to go out. I just want to be home.
Okay.
And so I was home doing it on the computer, and I heard this, the voice of God came in again and said, if you have any more, and it was like a collective we can't guarantee that you are gonna, you know, make it and wake up tomorrow. And it was so clear and so like Roger that I got the message. And it was not only kind of terrifying, it was terrifying. And I did not do any more that night. I did wake up the next day, obviously. I did not quit that day either. But at the same time, it was a wake-up call that I was really on the edge. And my mom, strangely enough, or not so strangely enough, had been seeing a psychic in Bakersfield. And she had told my mom that I was on the edge of killing myself. So it was definitely a darker time in my history. But my point to sharing it is God's spirit doesn't ever leave us. But at the same time, free will is a real thing, and we, you know, get to choose certain things, and some things are not very good for us, or can be very unhealthy.
Help through the drug, or were you on the edge of killing yourself because you wanted to kill yourself?
It would have been an accident, but at the same time, like the self-destructive path.
Yeah.
That I was on.
So how is your understanding of spirituality? How has it evolved over time?
For me, I understand more now that what is delivered as absolute God's gospel truth, whether it's, you know, literally God's gospel truth from the Christian church, or what other people might call it, God's gospel truth as far as just the truth as they know it, that is not as so fixed and set in stone as I feel like the powers that be in the religious world want us to believe. I feel that is more something that you really need to find in the way that you find it on your own path, where you may incorporate different traditions or truths or wisdom, but that at the end of the day, you make it your own. Like, and so for me, it's been about making it my own, applying it. I feel like application is key. Living it out, living my truth, being in integrity.
Yeah.
So for me, that's more how it is alive in my world. Mm-hmm. And it's ongoing. Like, I don't feel like I have all the answers. I feel like I have the answers that I need currently, and I'm also just open for more information and more understanding. But I'm no longer searching, trying to like confirm or deny what I know, like frantically, like I used to, because now I have my own. I feel like I can breathe and just trust what I know.
Oh, good. Okay. So it is kind of like riding a bike then, isn't it? Once you know how to ride it, then you feel comfortable with the method that you're getting to it, right?
Right. It's true. It's true. Okay. For me. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So have you developed your own spiritual tradition, or do you have a particular spiritual tradition or belief system now?
I wouldn't call it, I don't have a specific name. Like, I'm not following a specific person or tradition. For me, it's more of a like a constant companion, almost as if it's like a part of my part of my consciousness that I've been able to unlock or open up. But it hasn't unlocked or opened up by ascribing to what other people or how other people see this. It's helpful to understand where they're coming from and to see what they see, but it's been more about me, how I have been able to find my own path, find my own wisdom in what is being offered, and how do I make it come to life and how do I make it my own. So it's not just, you know, information in a book or something I heard on someone else's radio show, but how does it literally come to life in my life? How do I make it living wisdom? That's, I don't know if that's answering your question, but that's how it
sure did.
Works for me.
Yeah. So you found your own belief sense and how to work it, how to really stay with it and
yes.
Develop it. Yeah. How do you cultivate a sense of inner peace for yourself or connection to the greater God, Goddess, all that is?
Say that question one more time, please.
Cultivate a sense of inner peace, even alone. First of all, let's say alone, what would be your route to connect?
My go-to way to connect is I feel it from the inside out. I go inward. Okay. And that it, for me, it's been learning how to go inward and be open to what my intuition is communicating to me versus what I want my intuition to be communicating to me, if that makes sense. Where, like, coming at it from a more wishful thinking or woo-woo, unbalanced place versus being more stable, going more deep into what's really being conveyed, and also not trying to make it, like, put my interpretation or, like, what I want to make it mean. It's being able to be able to really hear what does the Holy Spirit all say, or in this case, God, what is God really trying to tell me? Versus, I just see a lot of people try to fit certain things into how they're living their life and trying to make those spiritual truths fit into what they're already doing instead of what I feel like it's meant to do, be more transformative and get you to see life in a different way, or maybe get you to open up your perspective to see more of what's happening, versus the other where it's more limiting or
to find your inner peace too. If you're upset about something, this is kind of where you can go.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Okay. So what role does meditation or prayer play in your spiritual life?
It's huge. For me, I feel like I'm always in a certain kind of state of meditation or prayer. Just walking around. And for me, if I want to deepen that, I usually go to the beach. I'm fortunate enough to be able to be a drive away from the beach.
That's
and
great.
I really connect very deeply with that ocean water and the coast and the mountains. And I feel like the ocean is able to hold the big, huge emotions I can feel sometimes. And it's even bigger. It's like holding all of our emotions. And so for me, sometimes it's the place I go to either transmit or alchemize like big emotions that I'm feeling, or if I am out of sorts or unclear, it's a place that I go to help.
So sometimes just in silence, you're saying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh. All right. So how do you find meaning and purpose in your life?
I feel like when I'm living from that place of, from, like I said, that mind, body, spirit kind of place, another way to say it, like from the heart mind. So it's not just my mind, not just my heart, but it's the balance, the balance point in between. And that's where I find it. It's in that, It's in the observer place in between. It's like where there is the wholeness, like the invisible wholeness. I feel like in our humanity, we can separate things out. We can get into like victim mentality, or we can just, you know, really get into our body. We can super get into our emotions and just be all emotion. We can also be spiritual and be all spiritual. But I feel like if we are ignoring the other aspects, it's like it throws us out of balance. So for me, it's being able to look at it more from the bigger picture perspective. And like, I'm the observer and I have all these different aspects of my personality, my body, my inner child, my inner mom and my inner dad, all these different aspects that have something to say about whatever it is I'm encountering. And I'm the observer consciousness that is having to make sense of all that and like how I'm going to move forward or what am I going to do with that information. That's how it works for me.
I'm wondering, it sounds a little bit like you use the same kind of method when you're actually doing a reading as well, right?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. So then that would really mean too that that's another purpose of your life. Your readings, because I can't think of another more grand explanation of purpose of life than to help others with, you know, through readings as well. So I feel like that's one of your purposes too.
I feel that in the sense of, I agree with you. Like, it doesn't do any good to have a bunch of knowledge and wisdom that we just hold up or hoard up, you know, don't share.
Yes. Yeah. So giving back with what you've learned. Do you believe in concepts such as karma or reincarnation or destiny?
I do, but maybe not necessarily like the same way as everybody else. Like for me, karma is this idea where whatever I choose or whatever I put out there is stamped with my energy, with my essence, my energetic signature, for really better said. And so that goes out into the world and increases and comes back to me. So whether, you know, it's considered positive or negative, that, you know, I think that's sometimes subjective, sometimes it's, you know, pretty clear. But regardless of how you see that part, I see that from an energetic place, wherever I'm coming from, I'm putting my energetic signature based on my choices, based on my actions, based on my energy. And that's going out in the world and coming back around at some point. That's how I see karma. So it's like I can't get away from anything that I've done or that I've put out there because it has my energetic signature on it. And the same as everyone else. Like, so I don't have to be the one to account and score keep and make sure and keep track of because I kind of have a tendency to do that too. So for me, it's like letting the universe be the scorekeeper, letting that, you know, take care of itself. And that's how I'm able to let that go, because I really do feel that the universe handles that part. And I do feel fate is a real thing. I feel like she is a real energy, a real entity of sorts, where her, if I can say it this way, her actions of causing certain things, quote, to happen in our lives, there are certain things that are meant to happen, and it doesn't matter how we feel about it. It's just meant to be. And so I do feel like fate is real in that way. And we can fight it or we can embrace it, but it's going to happen anyways, because certain things are destined to happen. I do believe that.
Okay. What about reincarnation, Jay?
it makes sense when you look at how it is explained. And in some ways, I've had moments where I feel like I have become aware of other lives or other times or other ways I've been alive. But again, I don't have proof. Like, I haven't been able to find a picture of myself in history and know that that was me. You know what I mean? I haven't been able to have like an experience like that. But I don't discount it either. I'm more along the lines of somehow, some way, we're living all this out at the same time. it's like it goes out of the realm of how our mind can make sense of it, but I feel like from a consciousness place, we really are all part of one way I've heard it said is we're all part of the mind of God. This is all happening in the mind of God, the one mind of God, and we're all part of that. We're all players in that, and in a certain kind of way, that's what connects us all too.
So do you feel that you might have a chance of not having to come back if you made that choice?
I don't think I don't feel like we're forced to be here. I don't feel like this is like a prison planet, like I've heard people say. I feel like we do get to choose to come, and knowing, you know, what we're getting into. And even though there are certain veils of forgetfulness that come with this reality, I have to say for myself, those did not all come down for me. I had a near-death experience in my birth where I almost died, and I feel that in that there was some parts of the veils that most people have I don't. And I think that's because I did have to, something got turned on, something came on in me to keep me alive in the womb and to keep me alive, you know, coming into the world. And somehow, some way, I've always been able to see energy and feel things and know things that I shouldn't necessarily know. And I just thought when I was growing up that that's how everybody was. I didn't know till I grew up that that was not how everybody was. Only some people were like that. And so that's been still something for me that I'm getting used to on how all that works. And getting to hear the stories of different people, it's been fascinating to hear that I am not the only one that's had that happen in a near-death experience as a baby, and how it has had the effect it has had on me. But I mean, I know that other people have had near-death experiences as adults, and all of a sudden they speak another language, or they can play the piano and they never touched the piano, or, you know, different things like that that just are unexplainable.
How old were you?
When I had that, I was a literal baby. When I was born, my mom almost died when I was born.
But you kind of remember it? You do remember it?
I remember different parts of all that experience, but I don't have like one long memory of it, no.
Okay. Yeah. Well, how do you integrate your spiritual beliefs in your daily life and decision-making? Kind of already answered that a little bit, but let's see if you can tie that up more.
For me, it's been living out my truth and learning how to offer what I do as work, in the sense that I'm able to specifically help people in certain ways. So for me, that's been really an amazing thing to come back around and to really be happening, because I dreamt about that in my corporate days of figuring out how to do that. And now more than ever, I'm doing it, but there's still definitely room to grow and more for me to expand into. But for me, it's been being able to live my life and be able to offer what I do for work from how I want to do it versus going the corporate route that I went, going to school and then, you know, staying in corporate jobs and moving up the corporate ladder. There's nothing wrong with that. And in some ways I miss some of it, but for me, I needed to do something more integrity with my own beliefs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you faced any challenges or obstacles on your spiritual path?
Oh my gosh, all the time.
So what are some of those examples?
Dealing with difficult people,
okay.
Dealing with difficult life situations. I feel like right now is not easy for any of us necessarily to be living. You know, I feel there's a lot going on in the world to be aware of. And then there's a lot going on in our own personal lives. I not only have a lot of health issues and survival issues happening in my own family and in my own situation. I'm in the middle of a move myself right now. But also, I just lost track of what I was saying. What was the question again? It totally went in and went out of my mind.
What challenges and obstacles? Yeah.
For me, it's been making sure that I don't fall back into people pleaser tendencies, staying present with people, staying present with what I really mean and what I really want to say, whether it's in a personal or business kind of interaction. And I'm just very grateful that I've been able to actualize what I would call, quote, my spiritual work, but more incorporate it more fully in just what I would call my regular life.
So you stayed on it. You just stayed on it and stayed mm-hmm. with it. Yeah.
And instead of separating it out, I've just incorporated it to bring it all together.
Okay. Love it. And I know that you do engage in this next one. Do you engage in community or group spiritual practices?
How do I engage with the community with my spiritual practices?
Yeah, or group spiritual practices. Mm. I know, like, you do sweat lodge ceremonies. And what is there? Are there other engagements that you partake in?
Yeah, so sweat lodge is one of them with a group. I also have a group that I do plant medicine with sometimes. And I also have a group that we have here going on called the Moon Project on 1-2 Academy, even though there is I'm going to say this announcement while I have the time. We are supposed to have a Moon Project today for the new moon eclipse, but because of all the things going on in my moving world, I have not been able to get myself to a point where I can post that. And Raven is the co-host, and she's been going through some things where she's at. So we are going to have a rain check for the Moon Project. But that has been a way to connect and to share what I know specifically, like in regards to the Moon Project, but about the moon and connecting to the moon energies and being able to look at how that ebb and flow, how that has affected my energy and my personality and my awareness, my ability to tune into the ebbs and flows of those energies, and how to ride the wave, and also how to be able to take a breath when I need to, and to, you know, take it down a few notches, but to be able to regulate myself, not from control, but to like regulate myself to the organic moment that I find myself in.
Oh man, when do you have to be moved by?
By the end of this month.
Oh boy, and have you found your spot yet?
I have not found a new spot yet. I do have a soft landing at my partner Alan's, so I do know that, which is great. I have a storage unit. I'm putting stuff in storage that I know for sure I want to keep. It's all still, there's many parts that are still up in the air, and it's like navigating the parts that I know that I can take care of, and I know what needs to happen and I already know, and also being open and not freaking out over the parts I don't know yet, and really applying my practice and trust. Like, I know that one thing I learned when I left Warner Brothers, because it was a good place, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed working there. There were, you know, some crazy parts too, but I learned then that sometimes we have to leave something good to go into something great. And now I'm learning from my living situation, you sometimes have to leave somewhere you love to open yourself up to find something that you love even more, or that you find even more amazing. And so that's my intention for what's happening to me in this move. And I'm not moving because I wanted to move. It's because my apartment, it's a family owned building, and the family needs it. So I agreed way back when I moved in 5+ years ago, that if that was ever the case, I would move on. And that's happening now. And so talk about fate. It's fate. And I could, you know, be a victim to it. I could be afraid of it. Or I can move through it and find my new place. You know, one way or the other, it's going to happen.
So this is kind of moving into our next question here, which is something you kind of answered. How do you reconcile any conflicts between your spiritual beliefs and the practical realities of life? How do you reconcile any conflicts between your spiritual beliefs and the practical realities of life?
That's where it's been helpful for me to look at things from the totality of the mind, body, spirit complex perspective, because I'm not just a human. I am not just like a spiritual energy being, and I am a part of this very physical world, but it's not all in my control. It's like, it's very interactive. And so for me, in order to keep my head on straight, I do my best to look at it from that mind, body, spirit perspective, because if I just look at it from my body, it's a whole different, I feel like I'm cutting myself off. And I also feel like it leaves me angry, because it cuts myself off from understanding like kind of the bigger picture of what's going on down here. So when I open myself up to that bigger perspective of seeing everything, it helps me with that peace that goes beyond all understanding. It allows for me to be in a space to let the universe, I'll say, in a certain kind of way, give me the information instead of me make up a story about what I think it means.
Okay. So it is, it's not living in your fear that you're going to get another place, for instance.
Correct.
It's believing in your what you've learned on your own through your spiritual beliefs that you're the right place will be there for you.
There, like I said, there's steps of faith. Like I did not always have this ability to trust like that in the unknown. It used to be, change used to terrify me. I was afraid of change, didn't like change, hated change. But then I realized like change is how new comes in. If I don't allow change in, I'm not going to allow the new one for better or for worse. And so that has also helped me learn how to embrace it more, be better at how I welcome it, versus like fight it.
Beautiful. So what aspirations or goals do you have for your spiritual journey now, in the future? Do you have any goals you'd like to work into thicken your spiritual beliefs or journey?
For me, my goal is to continue on the trajectory that I'm on, to continue to grow and learn and understand what else life has to offer, what other experiences can open me up to even learn more, as well as what might modify my understanding. You know, I don't always feel like we have the wrong answer, but sometimes we only have part of the answer that seems like the whole answer. And so part of, you know, what I've learned is that it's an ongoing process. You know, it's not ever over. If I'm still alive and still kicking, so to speak, this whole experience is still happening, and there is still something for me to learn or to understand or to experience. And I'm on board for that.
So it's kind of like you have an eye opener every day. You learn something every day, right?
Totally. I mean,
that's kind of, and that is totally a spiritual experience when that happens, because it's like a light goes on in your mind. So that's, to me, that's like a message that you were in tune to be able to understand that in a better way that you've never even seen before.
Yes. And so real quick, because I know we're getting low on time, I want to check in on the comments, because more people have come in to the room. Renee is joining us. She says, good morning, and the happy new moon Aries energy. Yes. And Tara says, today's topic is right on schedule. I've been diving into my connection with God/spirit, and it keeps showing up for me in all areas. I hear you, Tara. I hear you. And Mark says, Mark's joining us. He has the show right after us. Mr. Mark, the 1-2 wizard of the whole universe. He says, Aries eclipse can make us warriors. Brave discussion, Jay Varvel. Powerful and helpful. So thank you, Carolyn, for asking me all these wonderful questions to get this to come out of me. And Pamela says, happy Monday and solar eclipse day, everyone. Matt is bringing positive changes to us all. Morina says, hi, guys. She says, destined. What am I hating about my life struggles right now? And part of embracing those as if they're supposed to be there, even though they might be really difficult to be going through, is having that bigger intention of, okay, I know this may be challenging, but what is this challenge bringing out of me? how is this helping me grow into a bigger version of myself, or a bolder vision, or a braver version of myself? And being like being willing to set those bigger kind of intentions for where you're heading, and also being able to stop and connect to the moment in that way. Maya says, good morning. It's great to see you, Maya.
Good morning.
And Marina says, hugs to us. So those are all the comments. I just wanted to make sure we got them in there, because when I refreshed, I saw them all and I was like, oh my gosh, they're people are with us.
Makes everything come alive. Talk with Jay or me for a private reading at 1-2-Listen. And I'm on mostly daily from 6 a.m. until 4 p.m. Pacific. And Jay, when are you on?
I'm usually on the afternoons and evenings. And if you don't happen to see either one of us, don't hesitate to use the schedule an appointment button. It lets us know that you're looking for us.
Very good. Yeah. And you're also on radio again.
Yes, I'll be coming on Wednesday for the Psychic Playground, my own show. And then later on that evening, I join my partner, Alan, for Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles. We get into relationship discussions. And then I have an interview style show with Raven called Backstage Pass on Thursdays. And that allows us to get to know all the 1-2 personalities on a much deeper level. So I'm excited for all that. And please join us.
Yeah. So Mark Cusson is up next, and Christina LaFrance is, and Lori Love just after Mark. So stay tuned, and we'll see you next week, and practice your questions with your friends and new relationships.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. Have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
In the mornings, gentle light, we bid you all good night. Ideas, stories, hopes, and dreams took flight with Carolyn and Jay, conversations so bright in this cosmic realm where our stories ignite. Mornings embrace a new day's pearl. Their dialogues continue in this cosmic swirl. Thank you for joining with hearts full and swell in the mythical realm where our stories dwell.